Hello, Werewolf the Podcast here, and we're going on holiday this week. So what I've done is I've taken some stories from the past that have not been released, and I've put them into a little threesome. Some of them are quite rude, and some of them are quite horrible, so hopefully you won't be too shocked by what you're about to hear. Thank you for all the support, thanks for listening, go down to the description, and if you're in Berlin, worry. I had my own workshop in my home. Would I call it a studio? Perhaps not. Perhaps so. Many installations were at different stages of, what would you say, work? Malcolm, my erstwhile assistant, and my much hunchbacked Igor, was very good at keeping them alive. I take those human beings from the world for my art supplies. It was often hard work, but we got to one point where we had, you know, we were only losing one in five works before completing the projects. The open room was full of moans, groans, and tears. Misery was my reward from all my wards. She was my favourite. She was the work that I looked forward to following the most. She'd been in the tank for 10 days. Her body was bloated from being constantly immersed in water at body temperature. Her feces and urine were collected securely and held separately from the tank's water. This was a wonderful piece of work. In this case, I was looking at the strength of the human form, not its fragility. Picasso said that art is not only found in creation, but also found in destruction. My art is, well, fundamentally that of destruction. The whole process was being filmed from many different angles around the tank. It would soon be ready for release when she, well, finally succumbed to the grueling procedure. The world would see my work and be in awe of what we'd done and that she had played as big a part in it as myself. She was still alive, although her breathing and pulse rate were somewhat atypically fast. Maybe this had something to do with the pressure of the water on her vascular system. Her heart and lungs were working harder to pump the life-giving blood around her compressed body. Her head was held at the neck in a collar of boards. She hung from her neck under the surface of the massive tank of water bodily. She dangled naked and did not touch the glass of the container at any point. The skin had begun to break down as the immersion separated the cells of her flesh. Osmosis is a wonderful thing, especially when combined with fungus and bacteria. You know, those things that the world has brought to help these processes. There was beautiful evidence of her beginning to rot from the outside inward. The water had been sterile, but that was not the source of the infections. Her skin would already have had the germs and spores that attacked her flesh. She was rotting, but she was alive. Not much longer, I thought, before she simply, well, she would simply just fall apart, alive but dead. She was already beyond help. The pain must be beyond anything that I could imagine, and do you know what? I could imagine pain like no other. I kept her fed and hydrated by IV lines, well as we could. She was not getting proper nutrition. The water that she gently floated in and lapped at the walls of the tank was maintained to match her body temperature so that she didn't die of hypothermia, although it had the side effect of producing the perfect set of parameters for the infections to grow and take hold. But this was necessary. I smiled as I climbed the steps next to the tank. I stopped frequently to look into the liquid that had been clean, pure water in there so that I could look at her face also and see if she was still actually lucid. When I saw that face, her eyes were closed, her lips cracked and dry. She'd never been a beauty, but now she was a bloated mess. I cupped her chin in my hand and lifted her face towards mine. I have to admit, the stench was somewhat ripe, and as she moved in response to my touch, the smell grew as the water was stirred. Eventually, with a little bit of shaking, she slowly fluttered her eyes open and looked at me. She was present in that moment, and I could see that she was in pain. She'd lost all hope. It was beautiful to see and share this experience with her. Death is amazing when you watch it slowly happen. "Please, please help me," she asked. "I am," I told her. "I'm making you something that will never be seen again. Beautiful art. You'll be in the public eye very soon. I want to show the world your journey and how you lived with your subjection to the process." Her eyes left mine and she looked down, a broken being. No more questions were forthcoming. I kissed her on the forehead, dropping her chin from my hand, and climbed down the steps to look upon the underwater scene before me again. She'd been a great sacrifice. I appreciated her supreme effort. I met some victims through the myriad of delightful dating apps out there in this little sick world. They are brilliant for singles looking for love, sickos looking for the lost, and werewolves looking for lunch. Sometimes technology can be a burden to my lifestyle. Take for example CCTV, it's fucking everywhere. Everyone has mobile phones, but do you know what? Dating apps are great, especially for an 11 out of 10 like me. I would be contacted each week by the next batch of suitable candidates and would peruse them with very different purposes than the purpose for which they thought it was designed. It was a kind of menu, a menu of weekly specials, one-off delightful dishes for my specialist palate. I would choose them for any reason. It may be a picture of them smiling. It may be that vegan comment in their profile. It may be just because they were called fucking Tracy. Be warned. Tracy is a B-kill name. I don't know why, but it triggers me deeply, and I'm delighted that I can be triggered these days. Thank you, world. Tracy, you offend me. Tracy, you die. I would meet the menu items in a public place and start to woo them, knowing full well the outcome was likely not to be so great for them. I particularly enjoyed the liars. Not out of any sense of justice that I would hurt them for their lying, but because they thought they could get away with it. You know, the people whose picture was outdated, the cheaters on their beloved partner, etc. I once planned a meeting with a lovely young vegan named Janice. Hey, it was nothing personal about being vegan. She was not even preachy about it in her messages. She agreed to go to a restaurant that sold dead flesh. Thank fuck. Can I be honest? Why am I asking you? I will be honest. They taste a little bit sweeter. Vegans, I mean. I think it must be the lack of animal fats. Those vegetable oils are so good for you. I recommend that you consider them as a large part of your diet, or maybe you should not. Suppose it depends on how sure or not you are that you're going to be on the menu for a werewolf. Janice was a tiny, sweet-looking, blonde-haired 25-year-old who looked so wonderful and, yeah, sickeningly sweet. Her picture showed her sitting with her kitty in the sun, the light glowing through her hair. Her at the pool with her friends and on a swing in a straw sun hat. It was all sunny and she looked innocent and so fucking tasty. So have this in mind for the next few moments and how much it changed those pictures in my mind. I was surprised when a large fat bald guy sat across from me at the table and introduced himself as Janice, followed by a throaty cough that brought phlegm from the base of his soul into his mouth. Would it be rage? Or would it be interest? Do you know what? I was intrigued. What did he think would happen? He'd pretended to be this woman, this good-looking, attractive woman. This man thinks I might consider saying yes to him. He was very nervous and sweaty as he explained that he was a man trapped in a woman's body and the only part of his profile that was not the real him was his sex and the pictures. This was very difficult for me to comprehend as I flashed between anger and fascination at the situation. He explained that he would look like Janice if he were a girl. I told him I admired his bravery and asked what he wanted from this date. He said he wanted to be treated like the beautiful woman he was inside, no more. No less, he wanted to know what it would be like to be lovely Janice and be treated like she would during a dinner. So I did. I flirted and held his hand, looked into those puffy eyes and told him how they stood out, how they were the highlight of his face and shit like that. He loved it. The waitress who served us must have thought that we were madly in love and that she had learnt a lesson that all sorts of relationships work. I then, after a length of time, said I had to leave. It was enough now. I'd done a kind thing. I'd helped someone who needed it. You guys know. I'm not like that usually. And then he pushed it. Yeah, the usual line. He fucked up. Janice asked me if he could walk me out to the car park. At first I refused, but he got pretty pushy about it. The restaurant's patrons found it a little weird that we were arguing, so in order to stop the apparent interest, I agreed. So we did. At the car, this hulk of a man asked me if he could come home with me. I wondered why. He said he wanted to be held, to be made to feel safe. So I took him back to my house and I ate him. I did not just use Tinder though. Some of the other dating sites brought great sport, like Fab Swingers, where you might even get to have sex with and or sort of eat someone in front of their partner. They call it cuckolding, I mean the having sex with the wife, and I was really into it. These guys would want me to have sex with their partners in front of them. They wanted to be humiliated and feel like nothing. I could help there, because they were nothing. I often wondered how many of the wives just did it for the husband, or how many husbands just did it for their wives. I would be the bull, an alpha male, and I got off on the worship of me. I am in great shape, not too muscly and not too thin, just right. I think that the werewolf part of me affects my testosterone levels or something. I have to admit, I do like being physical during sex. Strangely though, I can't rape. I just can't do it. I tried it once, it wasn't fun. It felt wrong, so I just ripped him to shreds. Anyways, I look great and I can see why people get pleasure looking at me. I would also give their partner the best time of their fucking life, honestly. You should die after having sex with me. Well, to be honest, they mostly do. I spend enough time on the foreplay to like make it comfy, and then I go. I've got great stamina. I can run for 8 hours or more. It's not unknown for me to fuck them ragged. I often do this, just fuck and just then just keep going until I get bored. Then it's my turn to play. My posse does not like this part of me. He says he can remember the little me and the fact that all my kills were good, clean fun, enjoyable games without any sick twists. What a pile of absolute bollocks. He does not say that at all. He loves it. I'd been chatting to a couple called John and Andrea online. They were looking for a bull and wondered if I was up for it. I met them in a small cafe in town. We chatted briefly and then I was invited to their home that night. I loved the straightforward nature of these interactions. During the conversation, I got the dynamics of the relationship. He was, well, he was really into men but couldn't admit it to himself. He had a hot wife for the look of things and she got her pleasure through this type of stuff and mainly his money. It all made sense. A little sad in some ways, but made sense in others. It worked for them, and who was I to tell them the truth and spoil it for them? Hey, they probably realised the truth themselves. That night, I parked outside their place. It was a big building on the outskirts of Edinburgh. John answered the door and I went in and got reintroduced to his wife. I took her hand and made for the stairs. But oh no, they wanted to get to know me in order to bond. So I sat down in their substantial Georgian dining room and was offered dinner. It was lamb chops. I love lamb. So I sat at the table while John talked to me and fussed over me, pontificating about something or something else while I paid little attention. His wife had been super hot. Don't get me wrong, she still simmered, but the picture on her profile had been a bad one. She was way hotter than it showed. We ate. I told them a lot of stories, a lot of lies. I knew quite quickly that I'd won them over and that I would be staying. I am a funny bastard with a dry sense of humour and people say I am a beautiful soul and have a great charismatic quality. I'm not arrogant because, well, because it's true. Oh, and if they tried to get rid of me, I would have killed them in the kitchen. I already had a plan for employing the old waste disposal system they had. It would have been a fun half hour in itself. Then we got started. He walked up and suddenly hugged me and said, "You are my alpha. I am a beta. Please treat me as such." I, a little uncomfortably, patted him on the back in a hug. He held on for a little too long, and I had to push him away, which was in fact what he wanted me to do, I think. I asked to shower before anything. I like to have a shower because I am hygienic. Unlike the popular literature, we werewolves can be clean, and we do enjoy a bath or a shower. When I got out of the shower, John was in the bathroom, which was strange, but it just seemed he wanted to be a total bitch for his fetish and wanted to serve my general needs. I decided that I was going to kill his wife right after he cleaned her up for me. right after the sex act had finished. It may be the ultimate thrill for him, you know, dying after watching his wife shagged in front of him. He stood in front of me holding a towel and was almost cowering, so I pushed him to the floor with a backhand shove, removed the bathrobe that hid my glorious body, and went to the smell of Chanel. This lady was classy. This guy must be rich. I found her in the bedroom waiting for me, wrapped in a white lacy gown. She'd worked hard on the lighting and her makeup for the scenario. She was a MILF. Pure MILF. Her eyes followed my entry from the door and she looked super hot and was spread across the bed as if ready to be sacrificed to some godlike being. She asked me if I would like to play rough. Apparently that's how he liked it, the way he liked to watch it. I, for some reason, asked her if she actually liked it rough. A moment of compassion, maybe. No. I smiled as I stood before her and nodded as I reached forward and tore her nightgown off, dragging her slightly towards me with the strength of the movement. She gasped as she shed the material and turned to her hands and knees, purposefully displaying that hot body. That hot body was. The personal trainer she had been fucking in her downtime had done an excellent job with her. A little on the low-fat side for me, but it would suffice. I moved forward and pushed her face down on the bed. No foreplay. Where are the condoms? I commanded. With difficulty, John looked at me and asked what seemed a weird question at the time, but now it makes sense. He said, can you ride her bear? Bear, he asked. I didn't get a why at first, but apparently some of these guys want their wives to get pregnant so they live a life of shame with their child that is never theirs. I didn't care. I only asked one because it was a done thing these days because of diseases and such like. Luckily for me, I was immune to all human diseases. I'd never been ill as a kid. No, I tell lies. I'd had fleas once. That's a joke, by the way. A fucking werewolf joke. No fleas would land on me. They would know better. I grabbed her hips and lifted her into a kneeling position in front of me. I grabbed the back of her head, wrapping my hand in her hair, and drove her face downwards into the mattress with some force. She gasped out loud and sighed with pleasure at the rough nature of her treatment. John looked up, smiling with pleasure. He stood there holding himself, arms crossed across his body. She knelt now on the bed, her ass raised to me, her back arched and her chest pressed into the sheets. She looked amazing. I stood behind her, naked and fantastic, a Greek sculpture to be adored. I dragged her head back towards me, lifting her chin. I grabbed her with my free hand by the throat from behind and started squeezing. She moaned ecstatically once more. I continued with the rough treatment, lifting my grip to her chin and moving it up the front to her mouth. I was about to order her to spit into my palm when she just did. Okay, she'd been here before. I took the wet hand and forced her legs apart with my knee, wiping my hand over her sex up and down. Again, she gasped, her lips parting and her eyes closing. Glorious. I ran my hand back up between her thighs until they reached the place where her thighs met. She was shaved clean and it delighted me. She giggled like a much younger girl and trapped my hand between her legs where she forced herself back towards my questing fingers, trying to get them to where she needed them. I forced two fingers deep inside her. I then extended them and brought them to werewolf size inside her. She convulsed but did not fight to remove them. Shit, she was so into this. I inserted another finger, then another. She was incredible. I could not imagine what she was going through. I'd never been fisted, but it can't be nice, can it? I then let my hand swell inside her. She started to moan and rock back and forth. John had not taken his eyes off my penis as I worked. I had to whistle at him to get his attention and say how amazing it was that his wife could take all this. He looked fucking proud. Then I remembered what to say to him for the scenario. It's 'cause she's a dirty whore. All those years of other men's cocks have ruined her vagina. I pulled my hand out and wiped it with pretend disgust on the duvet cover. I can't do this shit. She's disgusting. John's face sank. He got to his knees and begged, and I winked at him and asked if he was enjoying this. He smiled and clapped his hands like a toddler and stood up smiling. His wife at this point was lying face down on the bed. She seemed to be gone, not present. Oh fuck, I broke it too soon. And then she raised herself to all fours and shouted, "More! Again!" I stood behind her admiring the view. It was well groomed and the sphincter was bleached. She had style. I held off for a little tease time. She arched her back and pushed her bum towards me. It was intoxicating. I just wanted to bite. I ran my hands up the inside of her thighs once more as she wiggled. She moved hypnotically from side to side as I touched her. I then gave her a slap. It fired her forward onto her face, but she didn't protest. She just backed herself up again towards me. John was suddenly by my side with something in his hands. "Can you use this?" He had what looked like some kind of harness with handles. That would sit around her waist, wouldn't it? He asked if he could put it on her. I pushed him into the rear of his wife. He loved it. He attached the harness and gave me a wave to engage. So I took the gift. I grabbed onto the harness and pulled myself into her. She yelled and rocked back, pushing hard against me. For a human woman, she was pretty healthy. I grabbed the harness and started to hit her like a steam piston. She was flung back and forth like a simple rag doll as I did what I wanted. And she loved it. She asked for harder. I gave it to her harder. She started to bleed from her sex organ. At some point, she became a dead weight, but I carried on and continued until I was satisfied. Then I let go. She lay still. No noise. I knew she was dead. That, my friends, was the first time I fucked someone to death. Can you believe that? I fucked her to death. I turned to see John sitting on the chest of drawers. He wasn't excited now. He was cowed and upset. So I asked him if it was good for him. He couldn't speak. I shook her and asked her, "Was it good for you?" She was lying in a pool of blood. She must have bled out during the action. John was all, "What did you do? What did you do?" That's all he could say. "What did you do? What did you do?" So I killed him. Ah, the fond memories.